At that now famous spot on the map of South Dakota, which we call Wounded Knee, when the soldiers finished killing the Sioux warriors, they butchered the women and children. Now, that's not the way the history books taught it to us, but that is what happened. The Ogallala Sioux, who live on the Pine Ridge Reservation, which includes Wounded Knee, have never forgotten this, but more important, perhaps, they're aware of what has happened since, and they're not at all enchanted with the white man's idea of justice. Last Tuesday night, anywhere from 200 to 300 members of the American Indian Movement took over a trading post and a church at Wounded Knee. They took whites as hostages. They fired upon federal authorities who approached them. They demanded that the Senate Foreign Relations Committee hold hearings on all the broken treaties made with the Indians, and that a separate inquiry be made into all the Sioux reservations in South Dakota. Yesterday, the Indians released the hostages, and South Dakota Senators George McGovern and James Arborask met with the militants throughout the night. Early this morning, Senator McGovern told newsmen that the negotiating session had ended on a jarring note because the home of one of the Indian leaders had been firebombed. We have in our studio the National Director of the American Indian Movement, which is called AIM, Mr. Vernon Belcourt from the White Earth Reservation in Minnesota. Mr. Belcourt is about to leave for Wounded Knee. We wanted to talk with him before he did. Mr. Belcourt, are you in touch with the other Indians at Wounded Knee, and what is the situation right now?
Yes, I've been in direct contact with my brothers inside the Wounded Knee area through a man named Aaron DeSursa, who's our communications man, and he's editor of the Shannon County News. Incidentally, it was his home that was firebombed, and we attempted to reach him this morning. Of course, the phones were out of order. He's one of our supporters, and I guess that's probably why his home was firebombed.
What do you feel about the work and the negotiations of Senator McGovern and Senator Arborask? How much of a help do you think they are to the Indians?
Well, I would suspect that McGovern and Arborask, of course, will attempt to take credit for the release of the hostages. I believe that the hostages would have been released anyhow. I feel in taking the hostages that their sole purpose was to stop the federal marshals who have been overreactive in the past against Indian people for demonstrating, to stop them from crushing them in the first few moments of the takeover.
Of course, it does build a sort of counter-reaction with people who say you're taking innocent people when you hold hostages.
Well, I'm not so sure if they're entirely innocent, because we recognize, as many tribal leaders throughout the country has recognized, that this particular family is are the traders. They're the white traders who run the trading post at Wounded Knee, and they're not entirely innocent in the sense that they have been exploiting Indian people for years. So as far as them being totally innocent, that's not the case. But the fact that they were released, and when they were released, that several of them elected to stay right in the immediate area, so indicate that they didn't feel there was any physical threat to them. And we know that they were not going to be harmed anyhow.
Well, what is the situation now, and what do you think is going to happen?
Well, we're asking, and we asked in Washington, D.C., when we went into the Bureau of Indian Affairs, we asked that congressional hearings be immediately initiated into not only the Bureau of Indian Affairs in Washington, D.C., but that whole system throughout the country that still controls the lives of our people. And we are hoping, once again, that in addition to a congressional hearing, perhaps headed by Kennedy, who has showed some interest, that Senators Fulbright and other people perhaps launch a complete investigation into the treaty violations against the sovereign people of this part of the universe. You know, President Nixon in his inauguration address once again indicated that the treaties are this country's most sacred obligation, and that we honor our treaties. Well, when we can sit here and see that 371 have been systematically broken in every area, then we have to say that either the president is confused, or he has completely forgotten, like everyone else has forgotten, that these congressionally ratified treaties, the same kinds of treaties that had us committed in Vietnam, are broken systematically. And what Indian people are saying today, and what the tribal leaders have said throughout the years, that if just the basic considerations within the treaties that were to provide health, education, and welfare. Indian people are last in health. We're certainly last in every area. Education lagging about 4 years. And if just those considerations would be honored, it would certainly elevate Indian people to a better way of life. But when you see just those considerations are broken, not to mention the lands that have been taken illegally and the considerations in the treaties never met, this contributes to the dire poverty conditions facing mostly all Indian people.
Mr. Belcourt, will you keep up these armed conditions then until the Senate does have these investigations?
Well, we recognized a long time ago that we have certainly tried diplomatic efforts. We, for 482 years, Indian people have been demonstrating by rejecting totally a lot of the things that have been offered to us. What we are saying today is that allow us to do it. Allow us to do it along with the assistance. And we would expect and we recognize that, unfortunately, where this country and this society can condone violence when it's in Southeast Asia, and on the other hand, when Indian people take over a trading post or take over a federal building in Washington, they immediately condemn us for the violence. We find it difficult to understand how it can be condoned in another part of the world, and here is this outrage, and we haven't hurt anybody. We haven't killed anyone, and we would expect that we'll have to continue being very firm in our efforts to bring about a new awareness.
Would you become that violent? You haven't hurt anyone yet, but would you?
Well, it's hoped, you know. Of course, we see no difference in the federal marshals in Wounded Knee right now than the cavalry that slaughtered our people there in 83 years ago. There's no difference in the attitude of
these. Would you answer my question? Would you attempt to violence?
I would expect that if we were assaulted somewhere along the lines in our efforts, if we were assaulted by the federal marshals, of course, we'd have to retaliate with the same type of force.
Mr. Belcourt, approximately $1 million is assigned each year to Indian affairs. $1 billion, isn't that right, for 850,000 Indians? Well, if one just takes that on face value, you think, gee, $1 billion. Now, shouldn't that be enough to improve the situation?
There are some figures that if they would distribute this amount of money to every man, woman, and Indian child per capita, it would be something like $4,400 per person, which makes a lot of sense in one way. We find, of course, in the budget that something like 80 to 85% of it's used up administratively by the bureaucracy, and of course the bureaucracy structure within the Bureau of Indian Affairs and their whole network throughout the reservation lands is that almost 60 to 75% of the administrative staff is non-Indian, with the total 50% being non-Indian. So we're certainly not helping the Indian economy by any means when you have this type of administrative waste.
Mr. Belcourt, the Indians are peaceful people. Traditionally, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, what we see happening throughout Indian country today is that there's a new awakening amongst the young people who recognize that the type of government that we have had, the type of people that we have had controlling our lives, not only by Washington D.C. but by various tribal leaders who have aligned themselves with the bureaucracy in Washington, that it's in some cases have totally failed. And we recognize that the young people today are going to have to take control. And when various politicians talk about self-determination, what the American Indian movement and a lot of the young people today are saying, total self-determination, which means having the total right of self-government within our reservation lands and our reservation boundaries.
You mean like separate states within
Definitely.
States?
We should be allowed that right. We have allowed the government, the paternalistic attitude of the United States government, to control our lives and our destiny all these years. And when you see a 43-year life expectancy, six to seven times the national average suicide rate, and all these other very dire poverty conditions, we can only say that that's totally failed us and we must look for new ideas.
How do you think that's going to happen, Mr. Belcourt?
We had hoped that it'd be a revolution within the tribal government by our young people and people. We recognize that if we would restore tribal government back to the traditional way, the hereditary chiefs take control, that they would certainly have more sympathy and be more sympathetic to the cause of the Indian people. What we have today is that we have leadership in the reservations are getting richer and living quite well while the people themselves are suffering. So we know that has to be reversed.
Thank you for being with us and explaining your position, Mr. Belcourt. Station.
Well, they must be turned that on.
I've turned it on already.
Hey, Jeff!
Hello, Wayne.
Ira, boo! Hi, Ira.
Ira!
Hello!
No idea.
What's Ira doing here?
I'm watching. You haven't breathed out to me lately. Magnetism tonight. Come on!
Bobby, can you? Oh, I think I'm going to leave.
I almost blew it last time.
Bobby, you got a second one?
Wait, I got it.
Right? Yes, right.
He saw it and stopped talking when it came. Yeah, I've been here before. His mind was on the news, not on his birthday.
Anybody touch the lights in the set? Is that Milk? Nope. Anybody touch the lights in the set?
No,
they seem these will seem lower, these two.
No, I've been touched.
As the set is raised.
No, did you grow? Have you grown?
He was all uptight.
1 minute.
Do you have a format for me?
Yes. What?
But which camera?
Ira.
It's not on. I'm just playing it. Relax, man.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
It's my toy.
Redevelopment Authority, Eric Bruce Ball, named an item number of arrest warrants charging statutory rape, prostitution.
warrants issued by the district attorney's office are involved in say two teenage girls over the past 5 months have sexual relations with it in his office of the Western Savings Bank building. Baldwin expects to surrender to officials on Monday morning. Now, it seems that Philadelphia Republicans have a bit of a problem on their hands. One of the men advanced as a party-backed choice for a judge was arrested inside a Center City adult bookstore on charges of shoplifting. The suspect is Frank Gilbert, a former assistant district attorney and former assistant U.S. attorney for the Virgin Islands. His arrest preceded by about 24 hours, the Republican Party reported. Police in Chester County have charged 20-year-old Thomas Bosarge of Phoenixville this morning's abduction of a housewife in that community. According to police, Bosarge forced his way into the home of Mrs. Judy Halberstadt with a shotgun to her head and forced her to accompany him on a drive. After about 40 minutes, she was able to dive from the automobile and escape injury. Palestinian terrorists have executed two American diplomats and a Belgian colleague they've been holding hostage in the Sudanese capital of Khartoum. Fate of the terrorists, though, still not known at this hour, although early reports told of paratroops and armored cars rushing to the embassy after five shots had been fired inside the building. Indians at this hour continue to hold the fort at Wounded Knee, South Dakota. Federal officials are reportedly negotiating with 200 of the Indians who have been holding the reservation since Tuesday, although a leader of the American Indian Movement says tonight that some 1,500 Indians are now on their way to Wounded Knee to, quote, bring this thing to a head.
We'll be talking to our expert on Indian affairs later on about that. Right now, our expert on sports is in residence, and his name is Mel Reese. What are you going to tell us?
I'm going to tell you the 76ers about holding the fort at the Spectrum.
No.
They started out brilliantly. They just looked like they were going to blow Atlanta right off the court. They took about a 10-point lead in the second quarter, but after a 55-55 halftime, the Atlanta Hawks came right back, and now going into the last quarter, the 76ers are down by about 15 points. The Middle Atlantic Conference playoffs are being held tonight at Delaware. Now, Temple won the opener. They turned back a pretty good Lafayette effort by the score of 88-8. St. Joe's should easily handle Gettysburg in the nightcap. The Hawks are a great team, and you have to pick them to beat Temple tomorrow and move into the NCAAs. Textall won its game tonight. They played Albright, and they beat them 56-44, and Bear Banks had a good game. He scored about 20. That'll put Herpenese Rams into tomorrow's finals of the MAC College Northern Division. Penn beat Harvard at the Palestra tonight. That score went 86-75. And that means the Quakers clinched at least a tie for the Ivy League title. Tomorrow night they play Dartmouth. They also play them at the Palestra, and a win will put Penn right into the NCAAs. And glad to see the Quakers moving right ahead. The scores of the Florida Citrus Open Golf Tournament continue to be very low. After two rounds, a golfer by the name of Buddy Allen, one of the lesser knowns in the tour, is ahead. He shot a 131 for the two rounds. Arnold Palmer shot a 74, and Arnie failed to make the cut. Remember Forrest Besler, last week's hero? Well, Forrest fizzled out after a bad second round, and he's also gone from the tournament. Everybody at the Eagles office is very happy after the signing of first-round draft pick Jerry Sizemore. Sizemore is that healthy-looking offensive tackle from the University of Texas. If he can play anything like the way the scouts say he should play, well, then you have to look at the Eagles' offensive line to be very much improved. Bob, it used to be just the backs and the receivers, but now some of these top linemen are getting that big money.
Well, perhaps as we discussed before the show, now they should pay them by weight, so much in pound for the linemen and the linebackers. Anyway, to review just what Bond's story was, the leader of the American Indian Movement says an estimated 1,500 Indians are now on the route to the, quote, bring this thing to a head. We have with us tonight Professor Theodore B. Hetzel. He's an expert in the American Indian. Professor, do you think that a confrontation will actually take place?
It might well. I heard Vernon Delacour speak this morning, and they seem determined to do something, get some attention, and that may be what they're going to do.
Well, we'll talk to the professor some more about Wounded Knee, about the situation there, and about the American Indian and his needs. That is after we take this time out.
Tight, very tight.
Every pillowcase, every pillow.
Well, that ought to be recording now.